tuned in to Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Joining me in this episode is Mike the Birdman Don and Alex from ThisWeekInGeek.net. We are joined to this episode this week to talk about the most anticipated movies of 2020 and some of the ones that we think are going to be total dog snot. So without further ado, let's get into it.
I like that term, dog snot. Now, again, there's probably going to be, we're so early in, like, there's going to be more movies announced that, especially for the late summer to fall winter, that there's going to be
some things will get moved.
Yeah.
The
really big titles have already been announced already a year ahead. That's generally how it works. But there's going to be a lot of medium budget titles or things that were, dates to be determined that will pop up later, and or even like indie titles that we end up liking more. But I guess these are all the ones that have been announced currently as of like this month. So it looks like it's broken down into a few movies per month sort of deal. So we just want to start with like January. Some of these might have already come out or just coming out now.
Yeah. So to fire off in January, very early on, we have The Grudge, which is a remake of a remake of a remake. So yeah. This one kind of looks okay.
It looks scarier.
This is John Cho in it, I think.
Yeah, yeah, it looks scarier than the original. See, I always confuse The Grudge with The Ring. And
same here.
This doesn't look as good as The Ring, but this does look better than The Grudge. was it the Sarah Michelle Gellar one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, this looks a lot better than that.
There is one. It's not on our list. It's probably out by now. It's called Antlers, I think it is. And it's basically about a skinwalker, which looks really friggin' cool. I really want to get out the theaters to see that one. So.
Yeah, I think it comes out right around the exact same time as The Grudge.
Yeah, so I'm surprised they're putting all these horror movies in January.
Which is really odd time.
Well, it used to be the dead month, but remember, January and February is when we started getting weird stuff like
John Wick.
Yeah, where like you'd be like, holy crap, then you can actually make money in these months. Plus, this way it doesn't saturate October. So I get it, I guess. Mm-hmm. These are either holdovers that didn't make it for October or ones that they don't want to wait until October for. Bad Boys 3, Bad Boys for Life, is coming or being released January 17th. That I'm optimistic for. It's not Michael Bay, which makes me upset, which is a weird thing for somebody to say. But
I think it'll do okay money, but I don't think it's going to do great money.
Yeah, because Michael Bay, he knows action. He's probably the best of that style of action movie director. But from what I hear, the director was a very, very big fan and is trying to make it as close as possible. And they did bring back the captain, which makes me happy. So I'll give it a watch. It's probably going to be a movie I see. I've got some movie passes, and I even have I was one of those smart guys that when I did some Christmas shopping, I purchased, $50 worth of gift cards to hand out to my cousins and got myself one of those holiday gift bundles. So I get two free movie tickets I think one has to be used in January and one has to be used in February. So maybe I'll use one for that. And the other like bigger movie is Doolittle, which seemed to come out of nowhere. The trailers for it only came out like 2-3 weeks ago.
Which is very odd.
For a very, very large, I think it's Disney putting it out.
It is.
I think so.
For a Disney movie, it's only had a marketing campaign start 6 to 8 weeks before release. It's kind of unheard of.
Yeah, especially with such a large star attached to it.
But it is Robert Downey Jr.
That is true.
So he's been pretty charming ever since he got... He stopped snorting the booger sugar back in the day. He's been pretty consistent in the last 20 years. Or 15 years, actually. Ever since
Kiss
Bang Bang came out. Well, that's what he'll admit it. That's what his problem was, right?
Yeah, he just doesn't like talking about it now.
Yeah. But Kiss Kiss Bang Bang really revitalized his career back in 05, 06. And he's been nonstop ever since. And then we're looking like, and there's going to be more movies released, but these are sort of collected from, what was it? Fandom is the collection is of all of these movies. So it's sort of like what people are talking about. So there are going to be movies on these lists that maybe you don't think are that big as an audience member, or maybe there's ones that you think are bigger, but these are just what's been published out there that we're sort of commenting on. So there's generally, you know, three or four per month. February has Birds of Prey, which I am going to see. It's probably going to be one of my birthday movies, as my birthday is February 2nd and it comes out February 7th.
I'm curious about it.
I haven't seen Suicide Squad yet, and I'm going to have to watch it first.
It's very loosely tied into that continuity, although it ignores 99% of it. Like, it's just the character look and design, but it doesn't have anything to do with Suicide Squad, allegedly. So, I like Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. I really do. I like most of the characters they're including in this. I think Ewan McGregor's fantastic. Black Mask is cool.
Like, if you haven't seen her turn in the Tonya Harding movie. What was it? Was it I Am Tonya or I Am something or other?
I Tonya.
She was great in that. Like, it's something about all the Aussie chicks where they can do all the different accents and drop it, and they really blow, you know, a lot of other actresses out of the water, and she can do it all. So if anybody can get that character over, it'll be her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. We'll see, because DC's starting to get a good track record with their movies, because Wonder Woman was great.
And Aquaman was good.
Aquaman, Shazam.
Yep, they've got
think
three
what
in
you
a row.
Will about Justice League.
But let's be honest, their individual movies that haven't involved Batman or Superman have been good.
Oh, yeah, totally. Basic,
yeah. So the next big one is one that got pushed back from November of this year. So they had to completely redesign the character, was Sonic the Hedgehog, which I'm surprised this movie's even coming out as a live action / computer animation thing. You can start to see posters and standees in theaters now. We got a new trailer a couple of weeks ago, and it looks good. It looks great. However, the theater or the company that did the visual effects for it was a Canadian company, and they're all unemployed now.
It's how a lot of these effects houses work. Unless they're owned by a studio, they basically get built up to do three or four projects in a row, and then when the money runs out, they're gone. So
yeah,
now they do this. It's, you know what, it's similar to some of the construction industry on the East Coast. You know, certain times of the year they shut down and then everybody collects unemployment. So everybody here will be collecting money, and then out of the blue, somebody else should come along, say, we need an effects studio. And then the same people that created that studio will then incorporate a new company so they can get more Canadian tax credits, hire everybody back, and they work for another year or two. So it's not as bad as the media makes it out to be. It's just sort of how the industry ebbs and flows.
I hope these people find work, because this looks fantastic.
Yes.
Sonic?
Now, do you wonder, was that a ploy? Do you think they actually did have to change anything, or had they made it and made this all some big elaborate marketing campaign?
No, somebody screwed up somewhere. They had faith in this, and they didn't want to listen to somebody lower down saying, guys, this isn't cool. But somebody in marketing said, let's just go with it.
So it's not my conspiracy bug clicking. It's actually legit that they had to change.
Sonic design looks great.
Are you going to see it, Steve?
Oh, yeah, totally. I am a huge Sonic fan.
Are you going to take your boys?
Probably not. I mean, I'm more of a one, the kids don't sit still, and two,
fair enough.
I don't really
to appreciate Sonic yet anyway.
No. Well, I grew up on Sonic, like on the Sega Genesis and everything. So, and playing the crap out of it. And so having seen it redesigned now, I'm fully, you know, backing it. And I like the fact that Jim Carrey is playing Robotnik, even though it's a little bit more jokish with it, with his character. But I enjoy what he's bringing to the table for it, because it kind of reminds me of the USA Cartoon Express version of The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog.
No matter how, the one that I used to hate as a kid.
The one I hated as a kid too.
Everybody come home, turn on the TV, you're like, oh, great, Sonic's on. Oh, it's the bad Sonic.
I liked the one that was more like hardcore.
But
Sat AM was the
I think
good
it was,
one.
You know what it was? It wasn't so much Robotnik, and it wasn't even Sonic that I didn't like in it. It was the voice acting on the chicken that was so grating on me. that I couldn't
scratch and sniff. Yeah.
It was too much like, you know, making the hair on the back of my neck stand up, which is, I guess, kudos to them, but it was annoying to the point where I didn't want to watch. Now, no matter how bad Sonic is, you know Jim Carrey had fun, because you can tell when he phones it in nowadays.
Oh yeah, totally. And
this is not. This was him gleefully having fun.
Oh yeah, you can tell he enjoys it.
So like that'll definitely be a while. Like that's one of the four sure order my tickets early movie. Now the next one, it was earlier before we were on air, Mike goes, wait, that's a thing? I forgot. The Bloodshot movie. So the first in the Valiant Comics. Well, Valiant Comics has invested a ton of money. So has Sony. I think Sony put in like $100 or $200 million into developing some of the properties. They wanted to have their own comics universe if they couldn't have anything but just Spider-Man, right? So the Valiant, for those who don't know, was the biggest independent comic company ever, I'm going to say, in the 90s.
I don't think so. I think they were below Image and Top Cow, but they were definitely in the top five.
Like in the early 90s, before they were bought out by Acclaim, they had like each one of their comics were getting multiple million like circulation. They were really big from like 90 to like 95. And then they just fell apart due to mismanagement, as a lot of comic companies do. But they're probably most famous for Bloodshot, Harbinger,
Exo Manowar,
which had crossovers with video games. Actually had crossover with Iron Man, I think.
Yep.
Was it on the Saturn or something?
Saturn and the 32X.
Yeah.
Or something.
So they were known for being geared towards more adult readers, like or like late teens to college age readers, where in the 90s a lot of comics were still mostly geared towards younger teens or kids. So they were sort of like they were like the imprint comics of all of the like DC would do later on, but before that was a thing, you know, like they would do themes that were more bloody, more adult themed, or more political. So cool. So they want to start their own franchises or bring up their movie series. They've got like three or four in the works, and Bloodshot's the first one, and it's starring Vin Diesel because he's a comic book and D&D nut. So it looks pretty cool. The special effects look pretty darn good for certain scenes, and certain scenes I'm like, from the trailer. I'm probably still going to see it because I'm one of the people that actually owns the Bloodshot. When Valiant came back about, what, nearly 10 years ago now, I own a few of the first volumes. So I want to see how close they actually make it to the actual source material. Because right now he doesn't look anything like Bloodshot does in the comics, where he's all white. Like where he looks like he's supposed to look like Mr. Sinister, and he right now he looks like
Vin Diesel.
I'm gonna steal a car, bro. I'm fully expecting that the last scene in the movie is where he's gonna look like he's supposed to look.
In which case, it's horse shit for him to go through the movie 90% without the costume.
Yeah,
that's lame.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see where this goes. But I'm still gonna. I am tepid, but I'm gonna check it out.
March brings us a couple of these I don't care about. Onward, I don't know what that is. I think it's a Pixar or DreamWorks Animation. I don't know. But one I do care about is A Quiet Place Part 2. The first Quiet Place was amazing. I didn't expect it to be as good as it was. And if you have a really good surround sound system, this movie is beautiful.
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to. But Onward is the new Pixar movie, and it's Weekend at Bernie's, but with fantasy characters. So it takes place in an alternate world where magical fairies and everything existed. Picture, it's basically like Shadowrun, a little bit. Like, what if fairy tales, like medieval time fairy tales with like
technology?
Yeah, like what if Lord of the Rings was set in the modern day?
Okay.
But magic is no longer existing. And everybody, like, they happen to be descendants of trolls and elves and fairies, but magic hasn't existed in hundreds and hundreds of years. And then these two boys find out their dad was a wizard. They have a, or secretly a wizard, they have a wizard staff, and they find out that he left them a spell that can bring him back from the dead for one day just to spend time with them before he has to go away. They go to cast the spell in the trailer. He gets halfway revived all the way up to his torso, and then they fall and the spell breaks and their dad is revived just to his torso, and they have to run around the country with their dad in a pickup truck, or sorry, in a shaggin' wagon or a van. Like, it looks like one of those 80s vans with like a unicorn painted on the side, as they try to find somebody else who can help them cast the rest of the spell to bring their dad back so they can say hi before he disappears forever.
Oh.
And, but what they're doing is they weaken the Bernie's the whole thing by making him a makeshift body with and put fake sunglasses on it and everything, and they're taking him around. So it looks kind of funny. It'll probably be worth it. It is odd for a Pixar movie to come out in March, though. So especially with Mulan coming out in the same month, which is the only live action Disney movie I actually want to see.
Mulan looks really cool.
Because it's the only one that makes sense to be live action.
I could make an argument for Cinderella, I think.
But it's been done too many times. This is a story that, you know what I mean? Like, there's other Cinderella stories. There's other Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale stories. There's other Grimm's fairy tale stories. This was a very unique in that it was like a Far East Asia story. So it hasn't been done, at least by a Western audience, before. The closest thing we can maybe get to something like that would have been what the Jet Li movies like Hero and Fearless back in the day. Tried to bring that to the West. But this is trying to bring that to the West on a large scale, which looks cool. Same with Quiet Place, looks neat. I don't know if there's any of these that interest you, Steve, though.
He likes shiny things.
No, I don't like shiny things.
Okay. So moving on to April, this one, the movie that just won't die, New Mutants.
Haven't they moved there like three times?
Four times.
At least. Four. At least this movie, and it's supposed to be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. What's the point at this point?
It's been pushed for 2 years. It's been finished and re-edited like three times over the course of 2 years.
With multiple reshoots.
To the point where, what's her name from Game of Thrones that was in it? She's aged out of the character, and they've had to shoot around that. Like, some of these characters, when they started filming 5 years ago, were teenagers, and now they no longer are teenagers. That's bad. So, will I see it? Oh, you betcha.
Because it's not going to stay in theaters long.
I suffered through Dark Phoenix and IMAX, and I got a cool keychain out of it. So I better get a damn keychain out of this one too. The other movie that's been announced for April, there's got to be more than that, but. Well, maybe not with a few things coming out in March, but it's the next James Bond, No Time to Die, which will be, that's an instant go-to for me and my family.
I'll see it, maybe. I don't know. Blair doesn't like the James Bond movies, which is really weird, I find. But I like Daniel Craig, so sure. It's his last Bond movie, so all right, why not? Moving on to May, we get Black Widow. I am there opening night for that because I've been waiting for this movie for years.
As much as I have a distaste for her as an actress, I will see it. Mostly.
Now, is it supposed to take place during the time span of...
Between the
after first... Civil War.
No, I thought it takes place...
Parts of it take Infinity War.
Parts of it take place in different time periods. Like, parts of it take place in the 90s, and parts of it take place after Civil War.
See, I thought it was partially after Infinity War. But I guess not.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm
right. Because maybe you're right because there's too many people in it.
Yeah.
But I will see it because of David Harbour. That guy, he's fantastic, and he looks great as whatever Russian superhero he's going to be playing.
He plays Red Guardian, who's basically Russian Captain America. Took the same super soldier serum, but not as good.
I just love it. The suit still fits.
it
looks great, actually.
This movie, I had no idea. In fact, I wonder if this is a mistake at this point. The Barbie movie's coming out? I've heard nothing about this.
I wonder if that's a mistake, too.
Yeah, there's just something about that seems off to me. And Legally Blonde 3 also seems to be a mistake. I know it was in production at some point, but there's no way we
it's an animated.
Okay. Why?
I think.
Why? Because does the world need more Elle Wood? I ask you this question.
Yeah, the Barbie movie, it is starring Margot Robbie, which I
but it's animated.
The Barbie movie, it's apparently is gonna be live action.
It says it is.
It says it has a 2020 release and it was slated for a spring summer. I predict it's gonna get buried in the fall sometime.
Yeah. Because you put movies in May you believe in. That's your money making month.
Well, if you look at what comes out right before it, like you got James Bond coming out at the beginning of April, which at the beginning of May will still be in theaters. You got Black Widow May 1st. And then you've got like I don't think Legally Blonde is coming out, same thing. Because you got Fast and Furious at the end of the month. I guess you could throw it in the middle there, but there's going to be something else, probably a mid-range budget action movie that'll get released somewhere in between there, and it will just tank. Like who is the market for Barbie? Like Barbie as a toy has been selling less than it's ever sold. Girls a lot of times are just getting regular action figures. Like it doesn't that whole overly feminine toy line isn't like they've talked about it. Mattel said it doesn't sell like it used to. So I don't even know why they're making that movie. Is it for like people my mom's age to watch?
I don't know. Like I said, it's weird because it's come out at a weird cultural time when gender roles are shifting right now. Exactly. So
like I would watch.
I don't know.
I would watch. I would watch Barbie the hardcore porno starring Margot Robbie any day. any day of the week. I mean, yeah. Oh, Barbie. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I would totally watch. Don't tell me you wouldn't even in secret.
No, I don't even care.
I would 100%. I'd be like, Margot Robbie, whoa, she's starting it. Oh, it's a Barbie movie. Oh, well, it's apparently a hardcore porno and she gets stuffed on all ends. I'd be like, what? Okay. Now you have my attention. And we're going to go see this at Cineplex? Sure. Okay. Wait, what? I'd be standing there in line waiting to go in first night with everybody looking back and forth, and it would be me and like 40 other dudes, and I'd be like, can you fucking believe this? Are we really going to be seeing this porno? They'd be like, yeah. And I'd be sitting down in VIP. They'd come up and they'd be like, can I get you a beer? And I'd be like, yeah, and get me a jerk towel. like that. That's wow. That's the only way you get me to see Barbie.
Let's move on.
I say that and I guarantee we're probably going to get like a press copy to watch or something. But yeah, then Fast and Furious 9.
Send it to the guys at This Week in Geek.
Yes. Moving along. Fast and Furious 9. Probably not a porno, and I will see that one in theaters because I love how ridiculous and stupid
Mike will see it. Blanchard.
Actually, I haven't seen a Fast and the Furious movie since like the fifth one.
It comes out on May 22nd. My dad's birthday is May 19th. I don't know how many he's seen, but I will make him watch all the others so I can take him to see it as an excuse for his birthday.
Can you believe that franchise has been around for like 20 years now?
Yo, I can. Well, after the first two and third, I couldn't believe it. But then I never saw the fourth, but my brother told me it revitalized the series. And then I saw a bit of the fifth. And then my brother forced me to go see 6, 7, and 8 together. And we loved every second of it. Ever since The Rock came on board, it's been a completely different movie series.
So moving on into July, or sorry, June rather, Wonder Woman 84, that's gonna make $1 billion.
Yeah, that's gonna be huge.
I am already so hooked. It's not just the nostalgia factor, they've captured the look, sound, and feel of the 80s, even with Pedro Pascal's like infomercial Max dialogue. Lord. His dialogue, yeah. That you know, just the way he's delivering the lines is 100% how every commercial sounded then.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. And I like the fact that Wonder Woman takes a DC character and really gives it its due. Like, it's going to be cool. And the fact that she's using the Lasso of Truth to swing on lightning, that's friggin' amazing. The Candyman remake, which is, I think, Jordan Peele, right? Pretty sure. That's going to be awesome. Like, I'm just looking forward to that one because horror remakes, I find in the last couple of years, they've been really, really good. So I got high hopes for that one. I don't know what Soul is, though.
That's a Pixar. Sequel sort of by the same division, the same writing team that did Inside Out.
Coco? Okay.
So instead of being Instead of being exploring your emotions internally in your head, it's exploring the afterlife or something like that.
Oh, that's fascinating. Maybe I will see that. The big one, or another big one that comes out this month or that month, is Top Gun Maverick, which has long been in development at multiple stages, but it's finally happening.
And I'm vaguely interested.
Pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
I'm interested. You know, I'm going to admit something. I have never seen Top Gun from beginning to finish. I have only seen bits and pieces on TV and the really super gay volleyball scene that I laugh at every time. And it appears from the trailer for this, they have a super gay volleyball scene.
There's another one.
So I'm okay with that.
Of course.
And if you haven't, if you don't know what I'm talking about, watch the super gay volleyball scene on YouTube and then watch the Future Man TV show mocking it, where they basically they do a shot for shot remake of it and then but then make it even more over homoerotic, which is even more funny. I think it looks fantastic. Now that one, it looks to have had a ton of input from
the military,
United States Air Force. Like, it looks like they strapped IMAX cameras to the actual jets, which does not surprise me if they did that, because I've never seen anything look that hyper realistic.
Well, one of the things that Tom Cruise kind of prides himself on is doing his own shit. When he does the Mission Impossible, that's him actually flying the helicopter. Like, he took like weeks training courses. So Tom Cruise is probably logging legit flight time with these aircraft, with someone probably flying with him. But still, he's in charge of multi-million dollar airplanes. So this is going to be cool. I'm looking forward to it. I hope it doesn't suck. And we'll see. Yeah. Moving on to July. It looks like big month for me.
Minions like 5 or something. Is that what that is? Or
this technically would be 4. There was Despicable Me 1, 2, 3, Minions. So yeah, this is like 5. This is the Rise of Gru. That should be funny. I like the Minions movies, so why not? Ghostbusters Afterlife, which has the potential to be really amazing, directed by Jason Reitman, son of Ivan Reitman. It has like a Stranger Things kind of vibe. Some people are complaining it doesn't look funny. Go back and watch the original Ghostbusters. It had humorous moments, but it was a supernatural adventure comedy. So kind of temper your expectations.
The biggest complaint I have is they're doing a little too much with the, you know, look at this epic, wondrous film trailer, like the way they build it up. It should have been a more quirky trailer, but that's not on Reitman. That's on whoever cut the trailer. So the tone of the trailer is a little too like, building it up to be like, oh my God, this huge epic is coming back. That's not necessarily how I would have cut that trailer. I did see when I saw Jumanji 3 in theaters, I took my mom to see it. That trailer played for at the beginning. I said, what do you think of that? You want to go see it? She's like, I don't know. I'm like, she goes, is anybody coming back? And I said, yeah. She goes, oh, maybe then. They haven't done a good job of explaining who's coming back.
Yeah, I don't think we will see that likely either Super Bowl or in May.
Because like my mom is like the classic casual viewer. She likes the movie, the original, but she's not somebody who goes to the movies for every little thing. So for her, it has to make sense. She looked at it, she goes, she said, is it going to be as bad as that one with the women? And my mom, I was like, what? She goes, yeah, it was on TV a few weeks ago and I really didn't like it. And I was like, oh man, if my mom didn't like the one with the women, and she was the amount of disdain in her voice for the one with the women, I'm like, oh man. So it wasn't just me. I wasn't being women hatey. It just wasn't a good movie. So I think this is going to have to do a lot to wash that taste out of your mouth. And I hope it does, but I will be seeing it probably first week.
Yeah, I'm seeing that opening night for sure. The next one is a movie I've never heard of called...
It's Tenet.
Tenet?
Never heard of it? It is. They showed... When I saw...
It's a weird spy movie, isn't it?
No, a weird time travel.
It's thing. A movie by...
Nolan.
Christopher Nolan.
It has the most intense scene I've ever seen in a movie. There was an 8-minute preview when I saw Rise of Skywalker on IMAX, where they showed how the entire opening sequence was done with IMAX 70mm cameras. Mm-hmm. So it's about them. It shows him and another guy secretly pretending to be part of a SWAT team. They sort of move in with the SWAT team to, under appearances, stop an assassination attempt at an opera in Russia. But in fact, they didn't. What's revealed is that that SWAT team was actually there to kill the people, and but their job is to basically subvert the SWAT team. So like they're secretly infiltrating an assassination guild to actually thwart them. And while they're doing it, the one guy almost dies. The main character there that you see in the Tenet picture, and he this guy goes to shoot a bullet at him, and he sees the bullet fire and then it disappears. He's like, what the hell? And he actually sees time reverse and things shift around him. Like things start moving in weird ways. And he goes like, what the fuck? And then he realizes that like, it sort of reveals that he's being pulled into a government agency that's trying to stop World War III, but World War III isn't what World War III isn't what you think it's going to be. And then it shows like a car, they're driving on the road and a car flips over in front of them. But then instead of crashing into them, the car fixes itself and rolls itself back onto the highway. And it ends with him like looking like, what the hell is going on? And then that's how the trailer ends.
Okay, that sounds more interesting because I did see something for this in front of Rise of Skywalker, but I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, the IMAX one had a full 8-minute uninterrupted scene. So
yeah, we had like 40 seconds or something.
Yeah, so this... Think the weird physics that happened in Inception,
Quantum Break, right?
Yeah, that sort of dealy. I think it looks pretty cool. Jungle Cruise is coming out at the end of the month, which
I don't know what that is or much about. Based
on the
Land
Disney Ride,
starring Emily Blunt and The Rock.
Yeah, it's based off the ride at
Disney. So it's The Rock. It's going to be fun. I'll see.
It'll be fun.
Morbius is not making this. There is no way.
What is Morbius?
Morbius is a Spider-Man ally. He's known as the Living Vampire, and it's played by Jared Leto.
Plasma.
Yeah, that guy. So somehow, no, it is the fact that we've seen one teaser shot, maybe two from the set, but you don't see him in full makeup. You don't see him in costume. No, this is not making July 31st. It'll get pushed. Because just no. And the idea of putting, I like the fact that Sony is creating a Spider-Man shared universe, but maybe leave it to the Marvel people because the villain gallery is strong. His ally gallery, not so much unless you have the rest of the Marvel heroes. So
what, are we going to get Kraven the Hunter, the movie?
There was talk of that for a while and would be cool.
Who would you get? Would you get like a Russian dude to play him?
Jason Momoa wouldn't be a terrible Kraven.
But he's too tight end to.
But he's Aquaman. So
like I'm trying to think. Not. Like you could probably they would probably go with some big wrestler dude or something. Like
yeah, that's what I would do.
Like Kraven, if his English was better, wouldn't the Mountain from Game of Thrones be good for him?
I think he's a little too big. Now, if you turn the Mountain from Game of Thrones into the Rhino, that would be awesome. Give him the big suit.
How about if he could act Rhino, the actual wrestler? He has that body type.
He really does.
Yeah, you'd have to find somebody that could fit that, but I think it would work. And then for August, they only have one thing listed because you know there's going to be more listed in August coming. They just haven't announced them yet. But it's Bill and Ted, and I am seeing that day effing one.
Yep. I think we'll see a trailer you might get a teaser at Super Bowl, but you'll probably see a full trailer by May. So that one will likely make release as we're starting to see some promo stuff come out of it now. So stay tuned for that one. I think that one will be pretty cool.
I'm really looking forward to Bill and Ted, but that's more so because I liked the original too. It's a lot of fun.
It's got 30 years of expectation on it.
And how, you know, there'll be some sort of tribute in there too to Carlin.
Oh God. Yeah, for sure. They'll mention Rufus or something.
Oh yeah, totally.
In September, a little less strong, but
because
Monster Hunter movie.
Yeah. One thing to consider too, before we get into this is when we're entering the second half of the year, very few things are concrete in stone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like most of these movies, looking at them now, I can tell you are not happening.
There's a few.
Monster Hunter. It's based upon the game, but only if a military unit gets transported to the Monster Hunter world. It looks so stupid. Starring Resident Evil veteran Mila Jovovich, I think, in this, because why not, I guess? Wait,
let me guess, her husband is probably directing it.
I actually think so. So yeah. Paul W.S. Anderson.
The bad Anderson.
Go get him. Yeah.
not the Wes Anderson, the artistic guy, and not the Paul Thomas Anderson, the really good director. This is the crappy Anderson.
This is the great value Anderson. The next one, I don't know anything about. The Kingsman.
It's the prequel to Kingsman 1 and 2. It takes place in the 1920s or so after World War I, I believe. It will be fun. You should, if you haven't seen the first two. Like, have you seen the first one at all, Michael?
No, it's on my list to watch.
He becomes a trainee. I read the comics, so it's a little different from the comics. But basically, he's a trainee to become a James Bond type character.
That's what I figured. Yeah.
And when it comes time at the end to do the big saving thing, his entire motivation is the princess is locked up. She tells him if he saves her, he can fuck her in the ass. That's and I'm not kidding. She says, if you save the world, we can do it in the ass. And he goes, I'll be right back. And then he goes to save the world. And then the movie ends.
The first movie is funny because it's got Sam Jackson in it.
Yes. But that movie ends with him, like them looking through like a camera, like in his glasses, as he's turning the girl over and pulling her pants down. And then they turn off the camera. I'm like, holy shit. It's literally like vulgar James Bond is what the movie is. And yes, Samuel Jackson plays a Bond villain in it who is obsessed
with McDonald's.
Yeah, he's obsessed with being a billionaire and having everything super clean, but his favorite food in the world are Big Macs. So
that's so weird. Yeah, all right.
He's got a lisp.
He's got a super lisp. And he's like, oh, you know, Dinner of Kings. And it's
how he sounds too.
Yeah.
And they had Mark Hamill in it for like a little bit.
And the second movie is about them saving Elton John.
Well, okay. And then they're bringing back Colin Firth from the first movie.
Yes. And so this third one is a prequel to set up the whole universe of The Gentleman, of how that secret society started. Yeah. The second one also has introduces the American Division, which is basically cowboys.
Yeah. And okay. It's got what's his name? The one that was going to play Gambit.
Channing Tatum?
Yeah, he's in it as one of the cowboys, and then they've got the one that plays Clue in Tron Legacy.
Oh, yeah.
The dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Jeff Bridges. Yeah,
Jeff Bridges. I couldn't remember his name.
So in England, they're the Kingsmen. In the States, they're the Statesmen. That's the
okay.
And they their secret identity.
And they're cowboys.
Yeah, they're cowboys, basically. It's hilarious. Okay. It's what if Men in Black was about super spies?
Okay.
So there were.
But it's worth, better yeah, than Men in Black.
It is, honestly. It's worth watching. Put that on your list of things if you just want to have a feel good day, is watch those movies.
Because, they're hilarious.
And they are really R rated. Like, really R. Like, I was not joking or exaggerating, Michael, when I said the plot of the first movie.
Well, they also had chips where they.
Oh, they have. Yeah,
they want to have everybody connected to the internet.
Yeah, there's a bunch of hilarious gore. Well, I'll say that. And cannibals in the second.
Well, the lady with the what is it? The lady or the dude that has razor blade legs?
Yeah, the lady. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the next movie, it says September 25th, is The Many Saints of Newark. I have no idea what that is, but
don't care.
And then Last Night in Soho. Don't care until I see a trailer. For October, and again, they're going to be a lot more announced, but in October, Death on the Nile. I don't know what that is, except that it looks to be a Poirot movie. Looks like a sequel to Murder on the Orient that came out last year, the year before, which I heard good things about, because Kenneth Branagh. Sure. If he wants to be the new Poirot, sure. Halloween Kills. I haven't seen the last Halloween, though.
Oh, it was really good. I was genuinely surprised by it, and it basically wipes all of Halloween continuity except the first one. So
okay, so
cool. Yeah, it'll be cool.
Then the Snake Eyes movie, which is the GI
Joe. Not going to happen.
Well, not to mention this might be a little outdated. This, even though this is a newer infographic, the talk was that it's no longer a Snake Eyes movie, that it is a full-on G.I. Joe. If that's going to happen, The Rock has to be in it. Or Channing Tatum. One of the two. So I would assume that that gets pushed till next spring.
Well, Channing Tatum's character is dead.
Now they'll reboot it.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be a new continuity because it could be anybody in the Snake Eyes suit as long as they're a good martial artist.
If they want it to make any money, it has to have The Rock, though.
Like,
he's the only thing that anchored the last film.
Well, I liked how they had Joe Coulson be Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Like the original G.I. Joe.
I don't know what The Witch is about, so your guess is as good as mine.
It's a high budget remake of the Roald Dahl movie from the early 90s that had Angelica Houston play the main witch. Do you remember that movie?
Oh, that'll be cool. Do you remember?
Yeah, where they end up turning into like rat people.
Yeah, like that was scary as hell.
But it looks to be the main witch is no longer Angelica Houston. It's Anne Hathaway.
Which
could be astonishing because I find her very attractive, and I'll be disturbed if I still find her attractive after all the makeup gets put on to turn her into an evil rat witch. But that should be interesting because it's been a while since we've had a Roald Dahl adaptation that was good, because I'm not going to count the weird Charlie and the Chocolate Factory movie. That's all they have for October. So you know there's going to be more horror films coming out. Although Halloween will probably be the number one movie like that month.
I think Saw's supposed to come out this year.
Maybe.
It is. Isn't that being made by like Chris Rock or somebody?
I think so. Something like that. Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
Complete reboot.
There's actually a lot of Blumhouse pictures and a lot of stuff produced by Jordan Peele that haven't shown up on these lists because they don't have definitive dates. The one movie I'm going to say early in the year that wasn't on this list that I think will make a lot of people's lists is the remake of Fantasy Island, which is being remade as a pure horror film by Jordan Peele. That'll probably be cool. Now we hit November, so we have The Eternals. That has a hard date. I know that. That's for sure coming out.
This is a Marvel movie that I don't know how it's gonna do, because The Eternals, if they're a very interesting race of characters in the Marvel universe, they're basically gods, more or less.
This isn't the terrible. Oh no, I'm thinking of that terrible one that was canceled after like one episode aired. That TV show.
Yeah, you're thinking of the Inhumans.
Yes, no.
The Eternals.
This is the one with Keanu Reeves, right?
No. You're thinking of something else. Was there talk of him being in it.
Oh no, it's Angelina Jolie's in it.
Yes. So what they're gonna do with this one, it'll be interesting to see how this ties into Marvel Phase 4. But then again, I didn't expect Guardians of the Galaxy to work. So I have to trust the House of Marvel, the House of Ideas, to see what happens here. But we'll see, I guess.
Looking at the casting, Angelina Jolie as Thena, Richard Madden as Icarus, Kumail Nanjiani, who you would know from Stuber, I guess, as Kingo. He's also Kumail Nanjiani.
Jon Snow plays the Black Knight.
Oh, is that? Oh, I'm looking at the other names on here. Selma Hayek's in it as a Jacques. And that's it. I don't recognize any other names.
Yeah, all I know is Jon Snow.
You know, don't be surprised if we get a Keanu Reeves reveal or some cameo or something, because he's popping up in everything good right now. So they could use some of that juju. I don't know, like, that's a series I have no knowledge of, so I'm going to go in blind. I don't want to read anything about it.
I know very little because I read some comics in the 90s with the Eternals because they tied into the Infinity Gauntlet somehow, but we'll see what happens. Like I said, this is all going to tie into Marvel Phase 4, who I'm still predicting the big bad to be Annihilus or Galactus or Kang the Conqueror. So we'll see. Next is something called Stillwater, which looks like Jason Bourne, I guess. I have no idea. Another movie I don't think is good. I think this movie got pushed again is Godzilla versus Kong, because I've heard nothing about it. Like, I know it's supposed to happen, but I haven't heard anything about it being production or being shot or nothing. So I have a feeling this particular month is really out of date. and a lot of these are subject to moving. Another one's called Red Notice. I think I've seen something on this, but I'm not 100% sure.
I'm looking it up right now because it's bugging me.
Raya and the Last Dragon looks cool. Don't know anything about it, but it looks neat.
Red Notice, I just looked it up. IMDb has it listed as 2021.
Yeah. Nice.
But I think so. I think some of these, even though like they're tentative dates, right? Like they're like, oh, Q4 2020, maybe January sort of thing.
Yeah, because this still has Uncharted, and Uncharted just lost its director like yesterday.
Yeah, and so it's one of those things where things are really going to be iffy over the next few months. But like Godzilla vs. Kong might still come out if they've already been working on the CG for a while, because it's the Kong team working on it. And as soon as they wrapped production on Godzilla King of the Monsters, that team went to work on it as well. So it already had half the team in pre-production. So
I think Dune is supposed to come out in November, and I think that will likely make its date.
Yeah, probably.
I know they're shooting it now.
Yeah, true. And that King Richard, the Will Smith movie. Will Smith movies, it's really hard to tell. It's going to depend on how well Bad Boys does, because he's had a really shoddy track record in theaters in the last, 10 years?
Yeah, the last decade has not been kind.
I wouldn't be surprised if it just gets pulled altogether. Escape Room 2, I don't even know. Didn't know there was an Escape Room 1. Dune, yeah, you said it makes sense. Coming to America, that is coming out for sure. They've already...
I'm looking forward to that, having seen the first one.
You know, Secret Shame, I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's really funny. It is really funny.
Good. I used to get Coming to America and Golden Child mixed up because I used to see clips of both.
Uncharted. Uncharted doesn't even have a script yet, so no.
Tom and Jerry probably, because it's Warner Animation, and they would have already had that set pretty in stone.
Who's the voice cast though?
Well, shouldn't be any voice cast if they're doing it right.
Tom talks though. Tom talks, and so does Jerry.
They're not supposed to.
I know. But one of the things about Hollywood is if you have an animated movie, you just put famous people in it. Doesn't matter whether they can voice act or not. You know, so they're not going to do it like a traditional.
It would be smart if they didn't use them to talk and everybody else just talked around them.
Yeah, but we're not that clever.
So it has a December 23rd release. Yeah, they're going all in with this as a Christmas release. It says Chloe Grace Moretz is playing Kayla. Michael Pena is in it as a guy named Terrence. Ken Jeong's in it. Rob Delaney. Nobody's listed as voicing Tom and Jerry.
I'll be surprised if it makes its release. But I'm not.
Here's the thing. It was originally set for April 16th, 2021. It was finished early and pushed up to a December release.
Interesting. Okay, so I guess we'll wait and see.
The director is Tim Story. So he did Fantastic Four 1 and 2. as well as Ride Along, Think Like a Man, Think Like a Man 2, Ride Along 2. But he did Shaft, and this year's Shaft I really liked. So maybe it'll be okay.
Hard to say.
But those are all the ones that were like listed as having, I guess, having dates at the point that this was printed. So there's definitely going to be pictures that we all want to see that aren't listed there. But as far as those being the bigger titles that have dates or had dates, you're shaping up to be pretty good. I don't think, comparatively, do you think this year of 2019 was better than the upcoming year for movies?
I think so.
I think it might be an off year in most cases, because like
I don't think there's going to be anything that will match Endgame. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, not just that. There were a lot of just decent and good things that came out in the last 12 months. I'm almost thinking that the 2020 is going to be a TV year, and then 2021 will be a movie year.
Yeah, because 2021 will have the next Spider-Man movie, and that'll be another $1 billion movie and for sure.
I think even because with video games, everything's winding down with the exception of Nintendo this year for the current gen. I feel like 2020 is going to be basically a year for Nintendo for gaming, a huge year for streaming and television, and a so-so to okay year for movies. And then 2021, we're going to have our wallets ready because it's going to be really, really busy when it comes to theatrical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you know, those of us that do want to upgrade to a new generation of consoles, as soon as the pre-orders come out, put down your $5 and keep putting $20 a month down so that you don't get hit with a huge bill when it comes out. That's what I'm either going to go to EB Games and trade some stuff in, or I might do the old get a pre-order on Amazon and then every month buy like a $50 gift card and add it to the order. Because I do not, like, I have a feeling that both systems are going to be like, hey, and we're $5.99 Canadian or $4.99 American. I'd be like, well, fuck, that's $1,100 after taxes. So I fully predict that 2021 is going to be a lean year as far as our pocketbooks go.
Yeah, it's going to be an expensive year.
It probably will. So I think that about wraps this conversation up.
I think so. So if you're looking for us around the Twitter universe and other social platforms, where can they find you, Steve?
They can find me at SCP21 or at Altered Geek.
All right, cool. If you're looking for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, usually under @birdmandot. I almost always reply, almost anytime, day or night, depending. And Alex, where can they find you?
When it comes to gaming platforms, I'm usually at Death Phase. That's DETHPHASE. I picked that when I was in high school, and for once, it's actually a decent name that nobody else used. And as far as social media goes, it's Death Phase _ Twig, or Death Phase Twig is one word. One of the two will find me on social media. You can also find me feedback at This Week in Geek. Find me on Facebook, or if you're really having a hard time, contact Birdman. He's everywhere.
Yeah, pretty much. So as Steve might say, get altered. Get geeky with the Altered Geeks. Woo!